If you want to turn to Titus chapter 2 this morning, that's where we will be as we look at what we do as a church, what you can expect from us as a church, what you can look for a church that is going to be effective at doing God's work. If you want to know where to find Titus, if you go to the New Testament and you find the T's, Thessalonians, Timothy, and then Titus, there's 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothys, and then there's Titus. If you find Philemon, you've gone too far. So you find the T's, it's the last one. It's one of those small books that maybe doesn't get a lot of recognition, and so we don't know where it's at right away. But I hear somebody saying, there it is, they found it. They found Titus. That's great. But you know, what I've noticed in life, in paying attention to people, in observing people, what I've noticed is that we're all obsessed about something. There is something that every one of us is obsessed with. Now, every one of us is going to be obsessed with something different. For some people, it's the hobby they have. They have this particular hobby, and everything that they, every spare moment they have, every spare dollar they have, goes to that. Some people, it's a recreational activity, a sport, or fishing, or hunting, or clothes shopping, I don't know. It's that recreational activity that you involve yourself in. For some, it's reading books, you know. You are obsessed with books. Some of you, it's sports. And there's a host of other things. That's just a few that I thought of really quickly, but we could come up with a host of other things that people can become obsessed with. Now here's something else I know. I know that whatever it is that we are obsessed with, we cannot be quiet about. If you're obsessed with something, you're going to take every opportunity you can to talk to other people about it. It doesn't matter what it is, you're going to talk about what you are obsessed with. Well, the same thing can be said for the things that we spend the most of our time doing. Although for a different reason. Take, for example, I had a job interview several years ago now, and I was sitting around a table with a group of people, and they were asking me different questions, and I was answering their questions one at a time and trying to be thorough and be effective at the answering the questions. And somewhere along the lines, I learned that one of the gentlemen in the group was a plumber and a heating and cooling guy. That's what he did for a living. And at the time, I was doing electricity, working part-time for an electrician. So I just started trying to connect with him by some of the illustrations I was giving were things that I knew he would understand from my work as an electrician. And so I started answering the questions that way. Well, a few days later, after I got done with this interview, I got a call from the chairman of the committee that was doing the interview, and he informed me that they weren't going to be giving me the opportunity to have that job. And he said part of the reason was I kept talking about doing this electrical stuff. I kept talking about using that as my illustrations. And he said it seemed to them that that's where my heart really was. And I thought, that's interesting, because part of the reason I was looking for a different job was I wanted to be able to not be doing that anymore. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't where my heart was at. It really wasn't. But it was what was on my mind. It was what was before me so much of the time. And so when I started to talk about things, those are the things that we talk about. The things that we fill our lives with, whether it's the things that we are obsessed with or the things that occupy most of our times, those are the things that are going to overflow from within us. Those are the things that we're going to talk about. What we can say this morning, that there are some other things that we're supposed to be overflowing with. You know, I'm supposed to be overflowing with love for my wife. And I do my best. You know, some days I think somebody shut the water off, but I try. I'm supposed to be overflowing with love for my children. Some days they make that difficult. But we're also supposed to be overflowing with love for other people. And the way that comes out through the church is what we call evangelism. Now, I know we hear that word evangelism and we say, I don't know about that. I don't know if I can evangelize. I don't know if I can do that. But this morning, I want to stand up here and I simply want to spell out for you how we as a church, while we can't really do evangelism as a group, I want to tell you that what it is that we're going to do, what it is that we do as a church to help evangelism become a reality for you. And because this is what it is, evangelism is simply telling the good news. In fact, if you looked at the Greek, you could almost say that evangelism is really good newsing somebody with the good news. You know, because it means to tell the good news. And so we talk about evangelizing the gospel. Well, that means to tell the good news about the good news. That's what we're called to do. And it's supposed to be something that simply overflows from within us. It's not something that's supposed to be difficult. It's not something that's supposed to be challenging. It's simply supposed to be the overflow of our life. And that brings us to Titus. Paul is writing to Titus, one of the ministers that he raised up, that he trained, that he sent out on behalf of God into service. And Paul is writing to Titus here, and he's just encouraging him in the things that he has learned and encouraging him in his ministry. And this is beginning with verse 11 of chapter 2. This is what Paul writes to Titus. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Now, as I was thinking about what we do as a church to encourage and strengthen evangelism, I thought about what Paul writes to Titus. Because here is what it is. Paul is telling Titus to do the very things that we strive to do to help you and to encourage you to tell people the good news, to let the love of God overflow from your life into your conversations and into the things that you do for other people. As Titus writes, or as Paul writes this to Titus, you know, I think that there are just some ways that this is going to overflow. There are some things that we're going to do to help this to overflow. The first one is the closest that we do as to evangelism as a group of believers, and that is this, is we're going to help you bring salvation to unbelievers. Well, we're going to help you. We're going to do some things as a body of believers that are going to help you and encourage you and to strengthen you as you do your best to do what Jesus did for us. You know, Paul says to Titus that God appeared and bringing salvation to all men. The grace of God appeared in Christ Jesus. And the purpose that God gave us grace in Christ Jesus, and the reason that Jesus Christ appeared, is to bring salvation. And so we're going to talk about the grace of God. And we're going to help you and we're going to encourage you to understand and to more fully understand what the grace of God is really about. And that's why the last few weeks we've talked about some things that are important for the church. That's why I tell you and told you that we're going to preach the truth. And we're going to stand on the truth of God, and we're going to keep speaking it even when it's unpopular. Even if some of the truth becomes criminal in our nation, we're going to stand for the truth. And I'm going to preach the truth. Because it's only when we speak the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and so we looked at what the gospel was, and we defined the gospel, and we said, this is what you do in the gospel. And so we're gonna keep preaching those things. And week after week, I'm going to do my best to preach Jesus to you. And I'm going to bring a portion or bring an aspect of the gospel to you. And I'm going to help you understand those things so that you can bring other people. Now, I'll admit to you and I'll acknowledge this morning that primarily this is a meeting for believers. And I'll do that unapologetically. This is a meeting for us to come together as believers and to be encouraged in the Word of God. That said, I know that sometimes there are going to be those people who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Those people who have not heard the message, who have not come to the point where the message has convicted them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to tell the story of Jesus. We might go to the Old Testament and look at what the Old Testament says about the preparations that are being made for Jesus. We might go to the Old Testament and look at the things that are being said about the need for a Savior. We might go and we might look at the promise of the kingdom that God had made. But whatever the case, if we go to the Old Testament, we're going to point forward to Jesus. We might look at the gospel messages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and talk about the life that Jesus lived. But when we do, we're going to point to the reason that He came, and we're going to point to the grace that He showed, and we're going to talk about what it means that Jesus lived for us, and died for us, and rose from the grave for our benefit. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about it unashamedly. We might look to the book of Acts and say, what did the church do to become healthy? But if we do, we're always going to point to Jesus because Jesus is the head of the body that is the church. And then we might look to the Gospels or to the book of Revelation, and we're going to talk about the fact that we're living in this time between when Jesus was here the first time and when Jesus is coming again. And we're going to say, how are we supposed to live in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Sometimes we might have to deal with sin. Sometimes we might have to deal with the blessings. Sometimes we might have to deal with trials or troubles. But we're always going to point people to Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the promise of salvation unapologetically. So you can bring those people who don't know Jesus here, and while they may not be the primary audience, there is going to be something for them to take away from here that will encourage them, that will strengthen them, that will point them to Jesus Christ and the grace of God through Jesus Christ. But not only that, I'm going to speak to you and I'm going to speak to them about the difference that Jesus can make in life. So you come in here some Sundays and we're going to talk about how we live in light of cancer, or in light of losing a job, or we're going to talk about how we deal with terminal illnesses that might last for long periods of time, something like Alzheimer's, or we might talk about how you deal with the death of a loved one in an untimely fashion. But we're going to talk about those things because those are things that help us to live effectively for Christ. But here's what I want you to know. If people come in and they hear the truth about how we can live in light of those and how Jesus can impact those things, it's going to help us to point them in the direction of salvation. And whatever those cases are, we'll talk about them because here's what I know. Sometimes people come in those doors and they need that. And sometimes we as a body can address those issues in a way that will help you later to point them closer to salvation. You see, we really can't do evangelism. But when somebody comes in here, we can do some things that will encourage and strengthen them, that will guide them, that may help them down that path of finding Jesus as their Savior. And so we, like Titus, we're going to talk about the grace of God that has appeared and to bring salvation to all men, because, well, that's what the church is supposed to do. But as we talk about that, as we talk about that as a group of believers, I hope that you're gaining strength so that you can in turn do the same thing that we're doing in here for those who are around you, friends and family, who need to know the message of salvation. Hopefully you're getting enough of the grace here that you can share the grace out there. We want to fill you up to overflowing with the grace of God that came through Jesus Christ. The grace of God that brings salvation. We want to fill you up until you're just overflowing with the good news of Jesus Christ. But you know, we don't always have that benefit. Sometimes Titus says that we have to encourage you as fellow believers to live the way that God has called you to live. And sometimes we have to urge one another to do what we know we're supposed to do. And so you come in here on a Sunday morning, and sometimes we're going to talk about all the things that Jesus taught. We're going to call you to live the way that Jesus called you to live. In fact, in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells His disciples that first of all you make disciples, then you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then once they become disciples, then you teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so while we're always pointing to Jesus and we're always talking about Jesus, there will be times when we get together and we just encourage one another to do the things that Jesus taught us to do. And you look at what Titus was told by Paul, and he says that we're going to instruct you to deny ungodliness and world desires. You know, sometimes you come in here and sometimes we're going to talk about a sin or certain types of sin, and we'll encourage you to leave those types of sin behind. Because if you're living in those kinds of sins, you cannot be overflowing with the love of God, and you cannot be overflowing with the grace and mercy of God, because sin does not allow that to be present in your life the way it should. It's kind of like you have sin in your life. It's kind of like pulling the plug on the bathtub. You can keep the water running in there as fast as you want, but the water is going to keep going out the bottom. The grace of God and sin kind of work that way together. If we're willing to remove the sin, we can overflow with the grace of God. But if we leave sin in our lives, the grace of God doesn't build up the way it's supposed to. And so we'll encourage you to deal with sin and to leave behind the ungodly ways of the world. But Paul also tells Titus to teach and encourage people to live sensibly. So sometimes it isn't just about leaving sin. Sometimes it's about living the correct way and encouraging you to live better. And so sometimes you might come in and we might have a passage of Scripture that's encouraging us to live as better husbands or wives, better parents, better children, better employees or employers. And so we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about what that looks like. And sometimes we'll talk about what it looks like to really be holy as Jesus is holy. And so we'll try to understand what holiness is so that you can live closer to the life that God called you to be. Because here's what I know. Here's what I know. When we leave the ungodliness of the world and we strive to live like Jesus, we become attractive to the world. When we live differently than the world, and we do it in a good and positive way, what happens is people start to become attracted to what we have. We don't have to yell, we don't have to scream at them. They simply see the difference and they want to understand and they want to know about it. And so we're going to encourage you to leave the ungodliness of the world and to live the way that Jesus lived and live sensibly in this world. And we're going to urge you to live correctly because part of what we are called to do as followers of Jesus Christ is we are called to share the good news. And so we're going to encourage you in different ways to do just that. And so you come in and we're going to tell you about how you can tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to encourage you week in and week out, and I will do it unashamedly. I am going to call you and I am going to urge you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people around you. Because it is what Jesus Christ has called us to do. Now, I'm not going to say that you need to beat people up with their sinfulness. We're not called to go out into the world and look at all the world and tell them how sinful they are. Rather, we're called to go out into the world and live differently so that they want to know what it is that we have, and then we share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I'm not going to stand up here and tell you to rail and rile against certain sins, because here's what I know: there aren't any sins that are really any greater than another, because in every sin, and ultimately it goes back to one sin, and that is self-idolatry. It is the fact that we say that I am good enough to decide what is right for me. I am my own God. And God, you're off the throne. Every sin goes back to the idolatry of self. And so the sins that I continue to commit are no worse than the sins that other people commit. The sins that you commit are no worse than the sins that anyone else commits. Now, in our minds, we grow, we give these different levels of sinfulness to different things. And I would agree that from a human standpoint, different degrees of sin are definitely greater than others. You know, if I murder somebody, that's a lot worse than if I speed down the highway. They're both sins. But murder, I'm taking away the image of God from somebody else. But here's the thing. I can't beat you up with your sinfulness because I continue to sin and I continue to need the grace of Jesus Christ. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you some strategies. And if I just want you to think back. I've been here a little over 2 years, almost 2.5 years now. Maybe it is 2.5 years now. I didn't do the math. But it's close to 2.5 years. And here's what I want you to know, that in those 2.5 years, I've given you some strategies. I've encouraged you with some of the things that we've talked about, some of the things that we've done to go out and to share the message in different ways. We went through a life on mission a while back that was put together by a pastor up in the Chicagoland area, Tim Harlow. And we looked at how we can just do some simple things that we do all the time and do them effectively with a purpose, and that we can use things like just meeting our neighbors and inviting them over for dinner and loving on them, and eventually we get to the point where we have enough of a relationship that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. About that same time, I put out a little card in the bulletin for a few weeks, and that card said One Life. And I encouraged you with this. I encouraged you to think about people in your life and think about one person that you could pray for that you would have the opportunity that you could share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's what I know. If you're praying for them, if you're praying for one person that you know needs to know the gospel, one, they're going to be more on, they're going to be on your mind more often than they would otherwise. So you're going to be more observant to the opportunities that would arise to share the good news with them. And I believe also that God will give you that opportunity if you keep praying for it. And so we're going to do things like that. We're going to do things that encourage you to look for people that you can share the good news with. And finally, we're going to do some things to help you understand the whole picture. That's why a couple weeks ago we took a whole week and we talked about what is the gospel? What is the good news? How do you define the good news in light of all the scriptures? And we said, this is what it looks like. It's talking about the kingdom of God that came through Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies, that He died, He was buried, He rose again on the third day, that He appeared to many people, that He ascended into the right hand, or into heaven where He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and one day He's coming to judge all mankind. You see, we talked about what the gospel is, and we defined the gospel because here's what I want you to know. You need to know what the gospel is so that you can share it with other people. If I try to tell you how to do something I've never done and I have no idea how to do, how effective am I going to be? Well, that's why you need to know what the gospel is. And so we're going to do some things that help you see the whole story and the whole picture. And we're going to narrow it down and say, this is what it's all about. And so while we do that, we're going to talk about things that lead people to salvation. And so while we urge you and we call you as unbelievers to live correctly, sometimes we're going to go back to talking about bringing salvation to the unbelievers. But all the time we're pointing towards Jesus Christ. We're talking about the grace of God that has appeared to bring salvation to all men. The last thing that Paul says there is, if you look at verse 15, he says that we're to reprove with all authority. You go back up and you look at what he says, and he says that sometimes we have to talk about people leaving ungodliness in the worldly desires, and sometimes that's just informational, and sometimes we urge you to leave those things, but there are other times when we have to reprove wayward unbelievers. There are times when we have to do some business with one another and with God. And hopefully from the pulpit, those times are few and far between. But you know, Paul wrote to the churches, and you look at the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, and you know what you find is that he was always dealing with sinful situations. Now, you look at a book of Romans, and that wasn't his primary message, or maybe it was, depending on how you read it. But you look at Corinthians, and you just look at the letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. They were a messed up church. And Paul says, I have to talk to you in these letters harshly because I really don't want to when I come face to face. When I come face to face with you, I want to be able to encourage you. I don't want to have to chastise you. Sometimes we have to reprove wayward believers. It's those times when people are living out of alignment with the commands of Jesus Christ. When Jesus clearly says, this is the way that we're supposed to live, and we want to live the sinful life, sometimes we have to come to the point of reproof. And unfortunately, sometimes we as a body of believers need the same thing. Sometimes I need it. Sometimes I need one of you to say, Rocky, straighten up. Generally, it's my wife. I thank God for that because she's loving and she's sweet about it. And if it hurts, it hurts. But you know what? I know this, that she loves me. And a few days later, it's going to be okay. as long as I listen. If I don't listen, then she hits me a little harder. No, not physically. She doesn't. She's never hit me. Except for in... Never mind. I deserved it, I'm sure. But here's the thing. Because we're living for Jesus Christ, when we are having a negative impact on the community, when we're having a negative impact on the world around us, we need somebody to step in and say, no, that's not right. We need somebody to slap us upside the head and say, get on the right track. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to stand up, and sometimes I have to do just that. And say, get with the program. Live the way that we're called to live, and call us back to where we are supposed to be. Striving to be holy because God is holy. Striving to be effective at what we're called to do. And here's what I know. Unfortunately, too often, the thing that we need the greatest, the two things that we need the greatest chastisement about are this. One, how we're doing at sharing the gospel. Unfortunately, too often, the thing that we need in our nation right now, the thing that we need chastised the most about is going back and sharing the grace of God that came through Jesus Christ with people. We need to be called back to sharing the gospel over and over and over again because it's not what we want to do. It's not overflowing from our lives. It's being dammed up. We want the blessing without sharing the glory. We want the good news without thinking that the good news is for everyone. But Paul says that salvation is to all men. Sometimes we need to be called back to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we need to be chastised because we like to sit with people who look like us. We say we want to follow Jesus Christ, but you know what? When I read the Gospels, you know who Jesus went to? Jesus didn't go to people who thought they knew what they were doing and thought they were good and said, here. When Jesus took the gospel to people, he went to the prostitutes. He went to the tax collectors. He went to the lepers. He went to the lame who were begging by the pool. He went to the graveyard where the demonic was. He went out of the region of Jerusalem and Judea to the foreigners. He went to the Roman centurions. Jesus went to all kinds of people that didn't look good in the light of their country and their time. And he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And sometimes we need to be chastised because it's all too easy to go to people that look like us, not the people who need it the most. But all in all, it comes back to this. You can bring people here who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ, and they're going to hear about Jesus. And we'll point them to the cross of Christ, and we'll point them to the empty tomb, and we'll talk to them about baptism and becoming a citizen of the kingdom of God, and the better life that Jesus has promised for now, but the promise of a better life at the end of this one, when Jesus Christ returns and the new Jerusalem comes down out of heavens to the new heaven and the new earth, and God once again makes His tabernacle amongst the people and He dwells amongst us. And we can talk about the better life that's coming. And we will. And so sometimes you're going to hear the message of salvation pretty clearly. Because sometimes those unbelievers are going to be here and they need to hear the message. But more often what you're going to hear is encouragement and strengthening and guidance and direction for how you as a follower of Jesus Christ are called to live and I will encourage you to do things here that will fill you up. And they won't just fill you up, but they're going to fill you up to overflowing so that when you leave here on Sunday morning, your tank is so full that you can't help but talk about Jesus Christ. That's my goal, that's my objective, is to fill you so full with Jesus that you can't help but to walk out these doors and talk about Him. The way that we talk about our hobbies and the way that we talk about our work, because those are the things that occupy our minds. I want you to be so full of Jesus Christ and the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, that you can't help but speak about it. You see, Paul writes these letters because he was filled up and he was overflowing. Paul was writing to Titus because he wanted Titus to be overflowing with the right things, and he wanted him to spill out onto the community that he was preaching to. And I'm going to talk to you about the good news of Jesus Christ because I want you to spill out onto Mount Zion and Decatur and Macon County and Illinois. I want you to overflow with the good news of Jesus Christ because that's what we're called to do. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then the part of the message that was for you is that first point. We're talking to you. We want to share the gospel. We want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you, that He died, He was buried, He rose again on the third day, so that you can have a better life now and a promise of life after this one. We're going to sing a song, and the invitation is open for you to come this morning to begin that relationship or just to visit about what that looks like. I'd love to do that with you. You can come forward and visit with me. You can catch me after Sunday or after church, and we'll set up a time to visit. But this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what I want you to know. You go back and think about that sermon that we preached on preaching, on the sermon. I want you to come in here as an open vessel that is just waiting to be filled up to overflowing every week. And then I want to encourage you this week to do one thing, and that is to ask Jesus Christ to put somebody in your path that you can share the message with. And you may just start by talking about who Jesus is. Or maybe you start by talking about how God can deal with the problem in their life that they bring to you. Or maybe you can talk about how they can celebrate with God the joy that they're celebrating. But you just ask God to bring somebody into your life that you can have a conversation with Jesus about. Because every one of us is called to take the gospel to someone. Let's stand together this morning as we sing.